AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour two of Betting Above the Rim, Sports Grid TV, Sirius XM channel 159, all across the Sports Grid network, all of your streaming devices. John Shames and James Young here. We're starting hour two with some more headlines, Jay. While we talked about some of the big storylines, some solid storylines from this offseason, how about some of the other drama around the league? All the buzz, some people might call it. Jay, why, let's start in that Eastern Conference right now. Darius Garland getting on a mic at some point this week and claiming that the Cavs will be making the Eastern Conference Finals next season. I think we make it to the Eastern Conference Finals next year, says Darius Garland. Remember, this is a Cleveland team that did not even make it into the playoffs when it was all said and done, unfortunately going down in that play-in tournament. JY, that's a whole bunch of cap, in my opinion. What do you think about this one here?
Boy, what you smoking, son? I mean, come on, let's keep Darius Garland. I admit, you had a nice year, son, but y'all didn't even make the playoffs. I mean, let's be real. After that great start, y'all faded down the stretch, kind of like my fade. I don't have a fade because I ain't got no hair. But back in the 90s, JY used to have a nice little fade. But you get my point. Bro, you ain't making no damn Eastern Conference Finals. Are you making the quarterfinals? Nope. If you even look at the odds right now, the Knicks, yeah, I said it, the Knicks have better odds to win the Eastern Conference than the Cleveland Cavs. They had a great year last year. They're not sneaking up on anybody this year. If you are taking that bet, just don't even go to FanDuel. You can just send your money to JY. I will gladly take that bet. They are not going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm real shaky on that. 44-38 was the regular season record last year for Cleveland. I was a big believer in them in the beginning of the year, but a war of attrition in the NBA and that slow 82 grit game grind, teams are going to separate themselves as the season goes on. Unfortunately, Cleveland did kind of in that wrong direction, really losing steam after that Ricky Rubio injury, to be honest with you, JY. So we'll see if him coming back here on a torn ACL, if he can come back to full strength. But Cleveland right now is plus 4,200 to win the Eastern Conference. Ridiculous. And then plus 12,000 to win the NBA title. Oshai Agbaji, Robin Lopez, Raul Neto, their key additions this offseason. All right, another team that I think is wild in right now about their expectations, and another team that was kind of looking into the playoffs this year but did end up making it in that Western Conference, the Minnesota Timberwolves. We remember a few weeks ago the Wolves traded for Rudy Gobert, sending out the absolute farm to bring in the Stifle Tower. I think it was something like 5 first-round picks and a multitude of players as well. And now Karl Anthony Towns is saying, it's championship or bust for the Wolves. This is the year that we need to win it all. Again, JY, I'm looking at this and I'm like, bro, you are not making the Western Conference Finals. You are not even going to be a top 4 seed in the Western Conference. Championship or bust? Yeah, maybe for the 6 seed, buddy.
Oh, boy. See, these young kids, folks. You know, I don't know what this guy. Listen. He had one better that came out after we talked about this. He said him and Ann about to be Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe? Who? Shaq Morris and Kobe White? Because I know you're not talking about Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. What? I mean, boy, listen, I love me some Black Jesus as we welcome in our radio audience. James and Shames show here on Betting Above the Rim, Sirius Channel 159. Listen, talking about Carl Anthony Townsend. Oh, boy, what are we doing with these kids? Listen, Cat, my brother, I know y'all, I know y'all had yourself a hot little playoff moment. Come on, but bro, can we pump our brakes? It ain't like, you know, Rudy Gobert is the next version of Hakeem Olajuwon here. I mean, the guy is Manu Bol with a little bit more offensive game. Yeah, I said it. So if you think that Rudy Gobert is going to get you to the chip, bro, I got a bridge to sell you. And I know there's a lot of, you know, lakes in Minnesota, but I ain't got a bridge to go over that lake because that ain't happening. Do me a favor, son. Make it out of the first. You and Darius Garland, stay off the stuff. Y'all two, listen to me carefully. Get out of the first round of the playoffs, make a little bit of noise, and then holler at your boy. Until then, pipe down.
All right, Joe, a couple other things that we got to hit on here before we come up against the break. Carmelo Anthony and the Lakers potentially restructuring some type of deal to bring Melo back on a cheap contract to L.A. Of course, played the last couple seasons with them. Decent fit there on the court, adding a scoring punch alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And then here's the real big one, JY, Bam Adebayo. His name has been floated out in trade talks, according to Ira Winderman, who is with the Miami Herald down there. He's saying that Bam Adebayo has been mentioned in trade talks for Miami, but at least one influential member of the organization has shot that down. You think Bam Adebayo makes it through the season in Miami this year?
I think so. I think they want to keep him. He's a key piece defensively. Try and trade other pieces to get Kevin Durant or Donovan Mitchell. And then, you know, I think that's the play there. As for Carmelo, yeah, he's going to run it back with LeBron. Let's see. He should be good off the bench. That's his role. Knock down shots. But it's more about the health of Anthony Davis and LeBron than anything for the Lakers to be successful this coming season.
Certainly so. I think that's what really we saw this year. A good bench for the Lakers. A lot of, you know, notable names brought in, established veterans, but was not even enough to get into the playoffs. We'll keep an eye on who else might be there available on the market to sign. Some free agent matchmaker after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's time for us to play a little bit of Cupid here, setting up some potential relationships, new relationships in the NBA this year as the offseason kind of starts winding down to a close, JY. The free agency pool, not nearly as robust as it was, say, a month ago, but there are a few names that we can keep our eye on here. So, JY, we're going to go all around the association right now, talking about some of the key free agents and potentially where some of those guys might fit in. Let's not waste any time. Let's talk about the first guy on this list, Colin Sexton. He's, in my opinion, JY, hands down the best free agent that is still available because he's actually an impact maker. And despite a questionable fit with the Cleveland Cavaliers, this is a guy who I think is going to be a stud coming off the bench for any other team. He's a legit 20-point-per-game scorer, and those don't just grow on trees in the NBA. So Colin Sexton this year played with the Cavaliers, tore his ACL partially through the season, his torn meniscus, I should say, 16 points per game, 3.5 rebounds per game, 2 assists per game, truly a microwave spark plug scorer type of player in the truest sense of the word. Joe Friso, our very talented associate producer here, putting some potential fits down where he thinks Sexton might be a good option, maybe going back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, bolstering up that backcourt that features Darius Garland now. Of course, they brought in Oshai Agbaji at the wing position as well from the draft. And maybe the Dallas Mavericks, JY. Maybe alongside Luka Doncic in that backcourt, you know, replacing some of the scoring that Jalen Brunson provided for them in this postseason. Lastly, Joe has the Washington Wizards listed here as a potential fit. I like the Wizards as well. They really need someone who can honestly just get buckets next to Bradley Beal. Three great fits there from Joe Friso. Any other teams stand out to you as a potential landing spot for Sexton, JY?
Great job by Friso as always. You know, obviously I see the fit in both of those scenarios of both Washington and Dallas. But how about Brooklyn? If you're going to move Kyrie, you're going to need a point guard. And I think Colin Sexton, what he has to do is rebrand himself and not just a scoring point guard, but one that can facilitate. kind of like what Darius Garland just did this past year with Cleveland, being a more of a scoring guard that can pass and create. So Colin Sexton, how about him in Brooklyn next to Kevin Durant, next to Cam Thomas, next to Joe Harris, unless he's part of the deal for Westbrook? I think a player like Colin Sexton with a big-time scorer like Kevin Durant, where he can get him the ball, will be a really good fit on a short-term deal for Colin to rebuild his value. Colin Sexton to the Brooklyn Nets.
Interesting look, JY. It did kind of give me pause that you just said Russell Westbrook is on his way to the Brooklyn Nets, but now is not the segment that we'll dive into that. We will get into that later with Antonio Williams when he joins the show. All right, let's talk about those Lakers right now a little bit here. Carmelo Anthony, we briefly mentioned in the last segment that Melo and the Lakers engaging on some talks to potentially bring the veteran wing back off the bench for LA. Melo last year averaged about 13 points per game, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. And he is really settling into that bench role nicely in his career. There was always the question of, is Carmelo Anthony comfortable taking that backseat? And I don't think there's a doubt in anyone's mind now. This guy's looking for a ring. I would not be surprised if he looks to re-sign with the Lakers playing alongside LeBron James, his good friend. But Joe Friso, when he makes his list, he's putting the Knicks down there, JY. That's a spicy one that I'd like to get your thoughts on, as well as the Miami Heat and the Golden State Warriors. So all true contenders here on the list for Carmelo Anthony, whether or not you feel the Lakers in that category. Again, we'll dive into that. But true contenders here for Carmelo, looking to get his first NBA championship. Where do you think he lands, JY?
You know, the Knicks are an interesting take, but I think with the young guns, with them getting Jalen Brunson, if they bring in Donovan Mitchell and still have RJ Barrett, they're still not a championship-level team, and all three of those guys are 26 and under, along with Mitchell Robinson and some of those other guys. So I don't see the fit right now with the Knicks, especially with them trying to get Donovan Mitchell. Golden State, I'm concerned about the playing time. Yes, they lost Otto Porter, and they could use a score as a stretch four. But I like the other two teams that Friso brought up. The Lakers, there's a fit. Listen, coming off the bench, it's Stanley Johnson and Austin Reaves as your backup 3 and 4. I don't think that gets it done, although Stanley Johnson looked very good this past season, almost a reclamation project for the LA Lakers. But I'm also very, very intrigued by the Miami Heat. Now, Markieff Morris is still there. I don't know what he gives them. They brought back Caleb Martin on a deal. But I do think the perimeter shooting of Carmelo Anthony would something that would benefit a team like the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler. And if you have, you could actually think about Carmelo could get himself major playing time if Bam Adebayo plays the 5 spot. So you can slide Jimmy Butler with Carmelo Anthony at the power forward spot with Kyle Lowry and Max Strus. Now, obviously, we're talking about Durant trying to slide into that spot, but I do think coming off the bench or even in a starting role playing about 25, 28 minutes a night, I do actually like the fit of Carmelo Anthony possibly going to the Miami Heat.
Maybe replacing P.J. Tucker's role a little bit too, of course, on the offensive end. We know that Melo is not nearly the defender that P.J. Tucker is, but getting an engaged Melo on defense, and of course, he's someone who is a pro's pro at creating his own shot. So I think Miami is really needing some offensive infusion. I think that's what they were most lacking this year. I like the potential shooting and shot creation that Melo can provide to that offense. J.Y., when I'm looking at this list, the funniest thing is that all of these guys have played for the Lakers at some point besides Colin Sexton. So the next up on the list is DeMarcus Cousins, who I do not believe played for the Lakers this year, but we can see he played for the Bucks and the Nuggets, I should say. So this year, 9 points per game, 5.5 rebounds per game, and 1.5 assists for DeMarcus Cousins. He, again, is another guy whose role has changed a lot towards the later end of his career here. But as a bench center and as a team, or for a team that runs an offensive set through their big, so I'm thinking of a team like Portland even, or like Boston, right? Some of these teams that like to feature guys in the high post and get the passing ability of the big involved in the offense, I think that could be a major fit for DeMarcus Cousins. Friso on his list has the Celtics listed. He also has the Philadelphia 76ers, who said goodbye to Andre Drummond off the bench of course. And he also has the L.A. Clippers here, who we know, as you said, J.Y., are in need of a backup center. I think those are all fantastic options for DeMarcus Cousins this offseason.
I'll give you three that I like. I do love the Clippers. I think that's a great fit as a backup five and someone that can play starter minutes if you're not getting what you need out of Ivaka Zubac. Two more teams. One he already played for. How about Denver? Talk about a team. Runs their offense through the center position. Had some decent moments with the Denver Nuggets, I do believe, last year. Boogie Cousins with the Denver Nuggets. And I'll give you one more if you want to upgrade over Naz Reid. How about Minnesota? You have a big and Rudy Gobert that is obviously a defensive-minded center. You can bring Boogie Cousins off the bench, and then you can play Boogie Cousins next to Karl Anthony Towns. Two players that can go inside and go outside. High-low action between Boogie Cousins and Cat would be absolutely scintillating for a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves. Don't sleep on Minnesota and Boogie Cousins.
J.Y., Dennis Schroeder, who is still available right now, is he a starting caliber point guard in your opinion?
Did you see him with the Celtics? Oh, hell no, that boy ain't
yeah.
no starter.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, listen, you know what? Dennis Schroeder, I'm giving you the Big Dummy Award 1 year later when you rejected that four-year, $84 million extension with the Lakers. Yo, homeboy, how did that one turn out for you? You think Russell Westbrook should have fired his agent? What did your agent do for you? And it wasn't my guy from State Farm. That's for damn sure.
I think Dennis Schroeder, I would be happy to see Dennis Schroeder actually in Dallas, which Friezo did have here, and I think that would be a great fit alongside Luka Doncic. All right, keep it right here. We're going to make another deal after the break here. Stay locked in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's make a deal again. That's what we're doing right here. We did it last week. It's prime time for NBA fake trades and the fake GMs to come out in full effect. That is what we like to do here on Batter. And J.Y., we had a bunch of great trades from last week that we talked about, and none of them fully materializing yet, but someone came pretty close, and that's Bocci, as he just reminded me during this break. J.Y., it was reported this week from The Athletic that there was a deal that was had a strong framework in place between the Lakers and the Pacers that involved Russell Westbrook. So it would have been Russell Westbrook and a first-round pick to the Pacers in exchange for Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, and that would be it. Here's the thing, J.Y., the Lakers, they want to send out Westbrook. The Pacers, they want to, you know, they're fine sending out Turner and Hield, but they want a pick in return. They want the Lakers to attach a first-rounder, which L.A. does not want to do. As of right now, that means this deal is dead, but something to keep an eye on. I think Bocci last week, I can't remember what his exact trade was, but I think it was pretty similar to this one, J.Y., and I know it also included the Lakers signing Patrick Beverley, so potentially a good fit all around here. J.Y., what do you make of this trade, and do you think we'll see Russell Westbrook wearing an Indiana Pacers uniform at some point?
I think Russell Westbrook wants to go to Indiana, where a place where he can be a ball-dominant guard. And as regards to the Lakers, what do the Lakers need, folks? They need shooting, and they need a center if you want to play AD at the power forward spot. And that gives you both what Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. I think THT was also rumored to be going the other way in that trade, if I'm not mistaken. But here's the thing. I mean, what are you doing, Lakers? Like, literally, you're going to hold this up for a first-round draft pick in, like, 2055? Like, LeBron's going to be out of the league by then. At this point, this is your one last chance to run it back. LeBron's, what, 37 years old. He doesn't have a lot of time left. Attach the first-round pick. Go get Miles Turner. Go get Buddy Hield. And I'll tell you what, you put those two on the Lakers. If you're healthy, the Lakers shoot up the boards, and they have a legit chance, if they're healthy, to come out of the West with that and then adding some pieces off the bench.
JY, I think you are spot on with that. What are the Lakers thinking holding on to one first-round pick? I guess maybe the thought is they don't know if LeBron's future and what LeBron's future will look like in Los Angeles and how long that is going to be. So potentially for the Lakers, maybe seeing some value on a future first-round pick. But I agree with you. Right now, you have LeBron on the roster. You got to pull the trigger on that. You're not holding future assets. You're going for a championship right now. So not a wise decision for the Lakers. We'll see if that gets re-engaged. But it does beg the question, JY, of what's going to happen with Miles Turner. This is a guy who seems to be in trade talks every single year for the Indiana Pacers, and this offseason it really feels like it might happen. Now on an expiring $18 million deal, but still a player with high upside, a very good shot blocker and rim protector who has some real value on the court now as well. I think he's a valuable trade piece, and I think we are going to see Indiana part ways with him and make some room in their front court for a lot of new guys like Jalen Smith and, you know, Isaiah Jackson. They have a lot of guys there in the front court in Indiana. So let's talk about potentially where Miles Turner might find himself. And it's a Joe Friso special once again here, JY, cooking up a fantastic trade, in my opinion, for both sides involving Miles Turner, sending him to the New Orleans Pelicans in exchange for the Grizzlies, in exchange for Steven Adams, a 2025 first round pick, a 2024 second round pick, and a 2023 first rounder. So that's going out to Indiana. Steven Adams, two first rounders, and a second rounder. Going back to Memphis is going to be Miles Turner, who, of course, alongside Jaren Jackson would make a tandem in the defensive front court. And then you have Ja Morant there as well, who can slash and find Miles Turner for the open three. Love this trade, JY, on a lot of levels.
No, it's a fantastic trade for the Grizzlies. And if you look at Miles Turner and Jaren Jackson, both have the ability to go out and play on the perimeter. So they could be interchangeable 4-5. Imagine guarding that high-low. Both guys can shoot. And you wouldn't have a better set of rim protectors at the 4-5 spot than those two. Also allows you to do is bring Xavier Tillman and Brandon Clark, who had an excellent postseason, off the bench. And it strengthens and it lengthens, obviously, a team like the Memphis Grizzlies looking to take that next step. In regards to Indiana, they get Steven Adams. You know, I don't know if he'll be a buyout piece, but he's just will be there a filler. It's more about the trades. A team like Indiana is fully blowing it up. You're going to trade Miles Turner. You're going to trade, you know, Buddy Hield. Listen, you want picks, and you want to surround picks with guys like a Benny Mathurin, like a Tyrese Halliburton, and possibly a Chris Duarte. This is a trade, great job, Friso, that makes sense for both teams.
All right, JY, let's flip it over to the Eastern Conference as well, and specifically in that Atlantic Division, the Brooklyn Nets, who we've talked about a lot today in just the sense of where is Kevin Durant going? We are all watching out with bated breath, seeing what's going to happen with KD. Joe Friso says, KD to Phoenix, that dream is not dead. This is a trade he cooked up last night, JY. It features KD and a first-round pick from 2028. So essentially, this is going to be a pick swap for the Brooklyn Nets. A 2028 first-round pick and Kevin Durant goes to Phoenix in exchange for, get ready, count it with me, Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson. That's your four players, okay? Beyond that, you have a 2028 first-round pick, so that's the swap that I just mentioned there. You're going to have a 2025 first-round pick. You're going to have a 2027 first-round pick. You're going to have a 2023 first-round pick and a 2029 first-round pick. So that's four straight picks with five potentially in a swap situation in addition to one, two, three, four second-rounders as well. So you're looking at about nine picks here or eight picks here in addition to these four players in Jay Crowder, Saric, Bridges, and Cam Johnson, really the latter of the two are the only ones who have some real value, in my opinion. But that is a massive, massive deal going out for KD. And Friso says, you know what? Who needs DeAndre Ayton? We don't need to wait till January 15th. Let's get this done right now. What are your thoughts here, JY?
Herschel Walker. Does that ring a bell to everybody? This is a Herschel Walker-esque trade because of the picks. Remember, Herschel Walker got traded from Dallas to Minnesota, and that's how the Dallas Cowboys built up their team with all the picks they got in that trade. Obviously, for the Nets, you get two pieces in regard to Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, two future guys. Mikal Bridges is potentially an all-star, great defender, and Cam Johnson, one of the best straight three-point shooters. Jay Crowder is someone that you're probably going to turn around and flip to a contender. Maybe you can flip him. Shames for another draft pick. Dario Saric is just basically there with his $9.2 million salary to make it match up. But then you go with Kevin Durant going to Phoenix, and that's where he would like to go. Now he plays with DeAndre Ayton, and he plays alongside of Devin Booker and, of course, CP3. My only concern is for the Phoenix side is giving up Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges. I think you want to keep one to slide them into the small forward shot as a shooter next to Kevin Durant, as it would open up the floor more for KD to operate. But if it's one of those deals that you got to go get Kevin Durant, you got to pay to get. So obviously, if you can't wait till January 15th when DeAndre Ayton becomes available, then you're going to have to move both Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges in a trade.
Yeah, I think it does make sense for Phoenix right now. There's no guarantee that Kevin Durant will still be available on January 15th, and you got to think that they would be kicking themselves if some other squad swooped in, especially another Western Conference squad like the Portland Trail Blazers or the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm just saying, something to keep an eye on there. All right, JY, we got about 2 minutes here left in the segment. I need to get your thoughts on this next one here. It involves Donovan Mitchell, who I know you've been waiting to talk about all day. The Knicks would receive Donovan Mitchell in this trade that Friezo built up for us here. Going out to the Utah Jazz, Derrick Rose, who's on a two-year deal worth about $14.5 million. Cam Reddish, his $5.9 million deal. Quentin Grimes and Miles McBride. I know you really like Grimes and McBride, but get this, JY, there's picks here involved as well. 2023 round one, 2025 round one, 2027 round one, 2029 round one, and then another first from Milwaukee that's going to convey in 2025. And that's really it. And let's add another one on top of that, too, from the Washington Wizards. So six first-round picks here, four players going out for D. Mitch. What do you think about that one for the Knicks?
This is the trade that's going to get tricky with New York, because what Danny Ainge is asking for is he's asking for six or more picks and young guys on rookie-scale contracts, and you get that with Reddish, Grimes, and Deuce McBride. To me, I'm not giving you six first-round picks and the young talent. You have to make a choice. Now, if I were to take this trade, if I'm New York, the only thing I would do is I would swap out Quentin Grimes for Emmanuel Quickly. Reason being, with Quickly, there is not going to be any real playing time with Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell. So I'd rather move someone like Quickly over Grimes. Grimes can be that small forward. Played really well in Vegas Summer League, but you do understand that this is someone that they really want in Utah. So it's either got to be Grimes gets pulled out and you put it Quickly. Maybe you could sell me on putting Quickly in instead of Cam Reddish. The picks are going to be important, folks. I don't know if I want to give five unprotected first, maybe give them three unprotected, two of them protected in the lottery, but I think it gets it done. I still think at the end of the day, Donovan Mitchell ends up a New York Knick.
I think so, too. I think that price of six first-round picks is so much to ask for, but it is the market right now for Donovan Mitchell, the young star. All right, plenty more to talk about. Antonio Williams will join us here after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, John James and James Young here, betting above the rim on SportsGrid TV, Sirius XM channel 159. Thank you all for tuning in. What a great show we've had so far, and hopefully we will get Antonio Williams in the mix here in just a few minutes. But until then, JY and I are going to take you through all of the different places that you can place some futures bets right now and make a pretty penny in anticipation of the upcoming NBA offseason. So, JY, I'm excited to dive into this. I'm sure you are too. Have you been scouring the odds boards during the offseason right now, seeing some of this movement that we've seen so far?
Yeah, I have been. It should be interesting in what we have because there's been a lot of movement, guys changing teams, and the market's starting to move. So let's get down to business.
Let us do that. All right, let's start with the big dog first. And this is an award that is very up in the air right now, JY, the NBA MVP. So let's roll in these odds, and I will take our radio audience through them here in just a moment. The favorite for the offseason MVP right now, that is going to be Luka Doncic, JY, at plus 460, a pretty short price here on Luka. But second on that list, Joel Embiid, he's there at plus 550, just a ways behind. Giannis making your way down there as well. And then you get into the double-digit prices. Jokic, KD, Stephen Curry, my guy Jason Tatum down there at 14-1. And how about Ja Morant, 15-1, coming off a most improved season right there. Early thoughts on this board, JY. Anyone catching your eye as a potential sleeper or some good value to win NBA MVP?
I'm not saying this because you're a Celtics fan. I swear, because you know I can't stand the Celtics. I actually like Jason Tatum at 14-1. I mean, I think he's going to have a monster year. Boston improved with Malcolm Brogdon. I think Tatum's going to take that next step. I think he's hungry and humbled by losing the NBA championship. And if Boston is going to take that step of getting back to the NBA Finals, there is a pecking order now with the Celtics. And the number one star is Jason Tatum. Then it's Jaylen Brown. I think Jason Tatum has a monster year. If you're going to give me a couple of bucks, I'm going to take Tatum at 14-1. But also, don't sleep on a little bit of a chalk pick. Don't sleep on JoJo Embiid. There was argument that he should have been possibly NBA MVP this past season over Joker. I think a full year with James Harden, a rejuvenated James Harden, is going to get Joel Embiid the ball in spots. And this is the last year for this run of the Sixers because remember, folks, James Harden can opt out after this year. So you expect a monster season out of JoJo. Don't sleep on JoJo Embiid at plus 5.5 to win the MVP.
JY, I'm not going to fade you here, but my look right now is Giannis at plus 650. I think that he had an MVP caliber season, and it was really, you know, I think at some point he's due for another one. He's the best player in the NBA, and I think that matters. That consistency matters as it pertains to MVP, especially when you factor in the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks co-favorites in the Eastern Conference. So in the Eastern Conference, I agree, it will be, I think it could be Giannis and or Jason Tatum, and then maybe Joel Embiid as a sleeper as well there, JY. I got to ask you, how much does the first-time MVP winner play a factor in you picking someone like Jason Tatum and me also looking at someone like Ja Morant? I think that when you look at this board, of course, Giannis and a guy like Giannis and Joel Embiid, who are kind of in that conversation year in, year out, they're going to be towards the top of it. But I think that what we've seen in the past, you know, few years, JY, is they like to give the award to a novel winner. You know, of course, we saw Nikola Jokic and Giannis winning back-to-back MVPs, but I think we're going to see a potential for someone new to break onto the scene this year and solidify themselves in that top rank. So I'm looking at Jason Tatum as well, maybe as a sleeper in that Eastern Conference.
No, I agree, Shaves. I think the NBA tries to not be chalk about it. I mean, you could argue back in the day Michael Jordan should have won like 10 straight MVPs. It didn't happen. You know, so
right.
you look at the NBA MVP and they try to move it around a little bit. Giannis has his. Joker has his. You know, obviously LeBron has his. You know, KD, these guys all have theirs. So when you look at it, it's almost like the new wave of the NBA. And the new wave is it's Luka. You know, it's Embiid. I think Embiid, because of the fact that he was so close to winning it last year and it was such an argument about it, if he duplicates his stats, that's why I think he gets it. But then you look at that new crop of the Tatums and of the Ja Morants. Ja, I'm a little bit less fading more, probably because of the fact that he's got to prove that when he's off the floor, it's almost like Memphis has to play worse when he's off the floor, and that did not happen this past year.
Yeah, JY. Ja Morant, to me, I think if we do see him win an MVP, I think it's going to be kind of something that we saw with that Derrick Rose MVP back in 2012, where he's going to put up about 25, 7, and 7, maybe something along those lines. But if the Memphis Grizzlies are indeed worse with him,
But when he plays with them, they can finish, you know, with a top-tier record in that Western Conference. I do think he maybe has a little bit of value just because he's so beloved, J.Y. Everyone loves Ja. Everyone voted for him for most improved this year. That would not surprise me to see him collect some votes there. All right, let's flip it over to we already talked about Rookie of the Year, and you know, we can dive back into that a little bit more later on, J.Y. But Sixth Man of the Year is an interesting one right now. Jordan Poole opens up as the favorite here at plus 470. Tyler Hero behind him about by $1.30 at plus 600. And then there's a huge, huge drop-off to Anfernee Simons at 16-1, tied alongside Malcolm Brogdon. So questions about Brogdon's role here. I think we are seeing that there's a good indication he's coming off the bench for Boston. I think that is, I mean, that to me right off the bat, J.Y., that's the best value. I'll dive into that in just a second here. Dinwiddie there at plus 1,800 for the Dallas Mavericks. Jordan Clarkson, who won it 2 years ago, at plus 2,100. And then sharing that spot with him in the plus 2,000s, we got Cam Johnson and Bones Highland, Nashawn Highland, for the Denver Nuggets there at 24-1, J.Y. I said it right off the bat. It's Malcolm Brogdon. All eyes are on Brogdon for me. This is a guy who, he's a real 20-point-per-game scorer year in and year out. Hasn't been off the bench in a few seasons, but I think that, you know, in that role with Boston, if we saw how they used Derek White this year, right, they got him involved. They used him as a shot creator, right, and kind of moving in and out with the starting lineup. I think that's where we're going to see Brogdon, and it would not surprise me to see Brogdon as a closer for the Celtics in a massive role. 14-1 is a steal from a value perspective on Malcolm Brogdon, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do like Brogdon a lot. I already said that it's probably one of the best offseason moves of this NBA year, with Malcolm Brogdon going to the Boston Celtics as a shot creator and a shot maker, a shooter coming off the bench. But I also look at the guy right under him and Spencer Dinwiddie. Midseason acquisition, played well down the stretch. Jalen Brunson leaves to sign that big four-year, $104 million, $110 million deal with the New York Knicks. And Tim Hardaway Jr. comes back into the fold for the Dallas Mavericks after missing the second half of the year. So that means Spencer Dinwiddie comes off the bench and he will play the big Jalen Brunson minutes. But I also think you have to look at the fact of down the stretch of games, you made a good point, James, closer. And I think in that lineup, you could see the Dallas Mavericks go to a three-guard attack of Luka, Dinwiddie, and Tim Hardaway Jr. as a three-guard backcourt down the stretch of games. Dinwiddie can play on the ball as a point. He can play off the ball on that second side of the floor as Luka comes off a pick and roll, pitch out for a three. I actually really like Spencer Dinwiddie for the value. It's easy to go chalk with Jordan Poole. Right now, we're trying to give you where we can find value, and I think you have that with both Spencer Dinwiddie and Malcolm Brogdon.
All right, J.Y., MIP is where I want you to focus on next. The most improved player of the NBA season. Right now, Anthony Edwards is your betting favorite at plus 1,000. So a 10-1 price there on Anthony Edwards as the favorite. So this one a little bit more up in the air than the other awards so far. Tyrese Halliburton is sitting there at 13-1, just a few dollars behind Ant Edwards. Zion down there, 17-1. I mean, that is fantastic value. Are you freaking kidding me? Right off the bat, I'm loving that one, J.Y. RJ and Jalen Brunson sit there at plus 1,800, tied with one another. Don't love that for either of them. Don't really think that, you know, I think they're going to cut into each other and kind of cannibalize each other in this awards market. And then you got Shai Gilgeous, 19-1. Don't think the Thunder are going to be good enough for him to really win that award. And obviously he struggles to stay healthy as well. Cade Cunningham, that's a good look, 21-1. Any talented sophomore is always going to have a leg up in the most improved year race. And then LaMelo Ball, 27-1. I think that is another good look. Kind of surprised to see him so far down from where Anthony Edwards is. It's interesting to see how those two career paths are kind of breaking off right now. But J.Y., when you look at this board, I highlighted Zion Williamson as my guy where I think that value is. Anything catching your eye initially here? Maybe a couple of places that you put down some shekels, as there's really no odds on favorite, heavy odds on favorite here, J.Y.
Zion's going to be a play because I think he's going to be absolutely fantastic. And the fact of having C.J. McCollum there for a full year, Valanciunas, obviously there, B.I., the Devontae Graham, they have a lot of players. And Zion now looks like he's in the fold, especially if he gets himself into shape. But James, my guy isn't even on that list. And you know where I'm going.
Yep.
Keldon KJ. Johnson from the San Antonio Spurs just got that bag. Averaged 17 points per game, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Folks, DeJounte Murray and his 21-8-9 gone. Derek White and his 14 points a game traded during the midseason gone. Lonnie Walker IV and his 12 points per game gone. And if you look at that depth for the San Antonio Spurs, starting Trey Jones, Josh Primo, probably Devin Vassell, Jakob Poeltl, and Keldon Johnson. I'm telling you this right now, Keldon Johnson is capable with this team, it being a young team, he could be a 23 to 24 points per game score, average 22.7 and 6-3 down the stretch last 10 games of the regular season. I think Keldon Johnson, who played better as the season got along, and his top scoring month, scoring, 5 points a game more post All-Star break, Keldon Johnson for most improved player is my value pick. I think he was about 36-1 a couple of weeks ago. Look at Keldon Johnson to put up big, big numbers this year for the San Antonio Spurs.
JY, the Spurs are going to be a bit of a money-making machine, it sounds like, or at least we both believe that right now. A lot of our picks for these futures markets coming from that Spurs team. You mentioned Jakob Poeltl. I think at this point, he's probably the most seasoned veteran on that starting unit for San Antonio. A little bit surprised, JY, to not see Jakob Poeltl then in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, where he has been one of the best shot blockers in the league the past few seasons. But if we take a look at those odds right now, it makes sense to see the big men at the top of the list. I know Marcus Smart won this year, an atypical situation. Rudy Gobert at plus 550, Rob Williams at plus 750, Bam plus 850. JY, quickly here, only about 20 seconds. Give me your pick for Defensive Player of the Year right now.
Robert Williams, great shot blocker, rebounder. If he's healthy, he's the best defender on the Celtics. Sorry, Marcus Smart. Robert Williams, Defensive Player of the Year.
I agree with that statement, JY. I love my guy Rob getting a look here for DPOY. Big thanks to JY for being here for the show. I'll close it out here after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, a little surprise here for the final segment. I know you thought it was just going to be me closing out, but I lied. We got JY back in the mix here. JY, I'm happy to be here with you, even for just a two-minute segment here. And right now, we got a couple things we want to hit on. We got a headlines at the buzzer board here. So, JY, let's talk about some of the big stories on our way out here for this week that we can check back in with next Saturday. Starting things off, Giannis Antetokounmpo, two-time MVP and defensive player of the year winner, as well as an NBA champion. He will be playing in EuroBasket this year for the first time since 2019 with the Greek national team here. What are your early thoughts on Giannis playing? He's going to absolutely dominate that league, in my opinion, JY.
Yeah, Giannis is going to bring the juice, and I just think we talked about it last segment. Giannis is going to have himself a monster year. I didn't talk to him about MVP odds, but I do say this. Giannis is motivated. I think he's upset that they didn't win back-to-back championships. So this is just a start for a big year for Giannis.
Yeah, I think that is going to be something we need to monitor, JY. I could see Giannis putting up 30, 40 points in this league a game. All right, second up on this list, Joe Lacob, the owner of the Golden State Warriors, fined 500 grand. Oh my goodness, that is quite a fine for decrying the unfair NBA luxury tax, JY. You can't complain if you are an owner, but what do you think about Joe Lacob here? Is that a fair fine for this?
Joe got that chicken. You might as well call him Colonel Sanders. He got so much chicken. So he could just cut that check, say what he wants. At the end of the day, the Warriors are going to be right there. He'll pay the luxury tax. He don't care. He's defending his team. Pay the check, pay the fine, and try and get that ring.
Last licks, JY. LeBron James dominates the Drew League. He scores 42 points. I think if we see stars playing in the Drew League, there might be some betting markings opened up. I'm excited to see if that is the case.
Oh, they're going to definitely bring that Drew League. Let's go. Hey, Cardano, can we go to Drew League next year? Drew League Vegas. Let's go back to back.
I was saying the grid should try and broadcast the Drew League, maybe. Imagine that one. All right, we'll see you next week. Betting.